I would like to consider with you again a portion of the gospel reading today from Matthew chapter 25, that great scene at the end of time as Jesus judges those upon his left but commends those on his right. And he says to those on his right, "Come and inherit the kingdom. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." And then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." This is God's word. Please be seated. Well, I remember college as a really wonderful time of life, especially this time of year when it came time for your Thanksgiving homecoming. For a college student like me who lived a long ways away from home, it was my first opportunity to go home in the school year. And so there had been three solid months of eating cafeteria starch and of walking on dorm floors that were not swept very often and sleeping on bed sheets that weren't washed often enough. Hey, it's college, you know, you wash your sheets once a semester whether they need it or not, you know. So, and then you go home. Oh, home, blessed home. You step in and there's that smell of a roasting turkey or maybe a pumpkin pie baking in the oven just permeates the air. The bed is all made up with fresh sheets and linens and pillowcases. Clean towels and washcloths have been hung carefully in the bathroom, and the shower stall is Lysol clean, a new bar of soap in the soap dish, the floors are vacuumed, your favorite chocolate chip cookies are in the cookie jar, and even the commode sparkles. Well, you never see that at college. And it was all prepared for you, lovingly, meticulously, joyfully prepared for you. Isn't it nice when someone loves you that much, who anticipates your coming so much, and they go to all that trouble to prepare something just for you? It's a great feeling, isn't it? And it's the feeling we get when we read these words of Jesus Christ, when he says to us, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, come, inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you from the foundations of the world." I prepared it for you, he says. Are there any words in Scripture that are more heartwarming than those? I prepared it for you. Luther says that every word of Scripture is pregnant with meaning. And so also in this case, there is so much for us to learn from these words. So let's see if we can't just begin to digest these words this morning for our lives. I prepared it for you. First of all, the Lord tells us that this kingdom has been prepared for us from before the foundations of the world. And that then brings to mind other passages like Paul's words to the Ephesians when he says that in Christ we have obtained an inheritance having been predestined for this. And he also says to the Ephesians that God chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in his sight. It's amazing to think about, isn't it? Before God ever said, "Let there be light," he had already prepared that kingdom of light for those whom he had chosen in Christ to be holy and blameless in his sight. Amazing to think about. Before I ever existed, God knew me. And he prepared a kingdom for me to inherit. And he chose me in Christ to belong to that kingdom. And so I can no more take credit for being a part of that kingdom of light than I can take credit for being an American. My goodness, I didn't establish this country. It was prepared by others, by their blood and their sweat, long before I ever existed, so that people who could come along like me and later on enjoy its great blessings. And so away with all false pride that believes that we have anything to do with our inheritance of this kingdom. As though this kingdom prepared before the foundation of the world is something that I can claim by my doing. Oh no, not by my doing. By Christ's doing. By His dying. I have entrance into that kingdom. It is by His grace. I was chosen by Him from before a time when I even existed. It is a blessing, as the text says, come you blessed of my Father. Not you who earned it or inherited. You are blessed to be a part of it. Come, inherit it. It was prepared for us by the bloody sweat of Jesus Christ, by which we are forgiven of our sins and declared to be holy and blameless in the sight of God and fit to be a part of this glorious kingdom. Those words prepared for you also teach us something about God's intention for the human race. What does Scripture say? God says through Ezekiel, I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, but would rather that they turn and live. Turn from your evil ways, he says, and live. Why would you die? And then Paul says to Titus, God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so God has prepared this kingdom with the desire that every last one of you, every man and woman and child would inherit that kingdom. Sadly and tragically, many will not. And Jesus makes that abundantly clear in his description of that great public judgment at the end of time to those on his left who rejected his grace and whose lives were proof that they had rejected him. To them he says, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now notice something. Hell was not prepared for people. It was never intended for people. For people, God prepared a kingdom. And he wants all of us to be there. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, the first, the original sinners. And so to reject the grace of God is to forfeit what God has intended for you and instead to inherit what he intends for the devil and his angels. But God's intentions for us could not be more clear. He wants all of you to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants you to know the truth about sin, to stop trying to justify it and saying to yourself, it's not that big of a deal. No, it's a big deal. God is a holy God, and he hates sin, and he wants you to know the truth about that. And he wants you to know the truth about his grace, in which he gave his only begotten Son, so that all of you who believe in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. And he wants you to know the truth about his grace also, which besides saving us, also teaches us to say no to ungodliness in our lives, to change, to turn it around, and to live for him. And also these words prepared for you teach us a whole new attitude about life and about how we can live our lives even better. Did you notice how those who receive the kingdom live their lives? Not selfishly, they live for others. And not in huge ways necessarily. Oh yeah, there are those who build the hospitals in the name of Christ, and there are those who give their millions to missions and to charities in the name of Christ. And that's all well and good. But for most of the saints, they are commended for much simpler things. Feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting those who are sick and in prison, giving a drink to the thirsty, welcoming the stranger in the name of Christ. And what's so remarkable about the saints' lives is that they didn't do these things consciously to try to score points with God, to get on His good side, as though they were keeping a tally sheet and say, now I visited somebody who was in prison, so that's a score on my sheet now. No, they weren't conscious of it. What was their response when Jesus pointed these things out? He said, well done, you did these things. And they said, when did we do that? I don't remember doing that, Lord. And of course He says, well, when you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Faith produced those fruits in their lives apart from any conscious thought. Because that's what faith does, you see. I mean, an apple tree doesn't have to think about producing apples. It's an apple tree. That's what apple trees do. And Christians, people of God, people of faith, don't have to think long and hard, now what good work am I going to do today? You just do it. Because that's what faith does. First comes the salvation, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. And then comes all of those wonderful fruits of faith. The love, the compassion, the forgiveness, and the kindness that you extend to each other. You know, for those who live without faith in this world, and who only have this world to live for, life is naturally about self, not about others. It's about getting ahead. It's about keeping up. It's about getting your fair share. It's about getting even. It's always this struggle for power and importance and prestige. Because after all, what else is there to live for? But we do have something else to live for. We have a place that has been prepared for us from before the foundations of the earth. A place for which God has chosen us and destined us in Jesus Christ. And so we're free now to stop living for ourselves and for this world. And we are free to live for Him who died for us and who rose again. Free to live for Him by serving Him in the poor and the lonely and the naked and the thirsty and the homeless. And ever so slowly, as we mature in our faith, we learn the most important lessons of life. That in giving, we become rich. In serving, we become great. In humility, we are exalted. I prepared it all for you, Jesus says. Can you imagine that day, stepping into that glorious kingdom for the first time? Like a college kid coming home from Thanksgiving break. We step in through that pearled gate. And the smell of that wonderful feast that Isaiah talks about permeates the air. That feast of well-aged wine and the best cuts of meat. A linen robe is given to us, glorious and beautiful, spotless and clean, gleaming in the righteousness of Christ that covers us forever. The floors are paved with gold. The walls are alabaster. The gates are pearl. The foundations are precious stones. And life is forever purged of every problem and sorrow and sadness and strife and illness and heartache. And Jesus says, come on in. I prepared it for you. Just for you. From all of eternity. For you. And so this last Sunday of the church year is not called the Sunday of Judgment. Although, of course, there will be judgment for those on the left, and they will go off into the eternal fire, tragically, that was prepared only for the devil and his angels. But we call this the Sunday of Fulfillment. Our focus is upon the fulfillments of Jesus, of our hopes in Christ, who forever will set us free from every vestige of sin. Our focus is on the fulfillment of our hopes. As we look forward to Christ when He says to us, come on in, well done, I prepared it for you. Those great words. You know, I always wondered, sometimes you fantasize, what would it be like to be the king or the president? And no matter where you go, everybody anticipates your arrival, and everything is carefully, meticulously prepared for you, right down to the last detail. That'd make you feel pretty special, wouldn't it? But what if you turn the tables? What if it's the king who is making the preparations for your coming? And it's the king who is making all of those careful, meticulous preparations for you, right down to the last detail. Now, how do you feel? Isn't it great? Isn't it great? These words of our Lord Jesus, I prepared it for you. So, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Crucify the old sinful nature with its lusts and its passions and its selfishness and its sins, and let faith produce its fruit in your life. As you do those good works that you are appointed in Jesus Christ to do. And then keep an eye to the heavens as you anticipate the day of fulfillment when Christ comes and He says to you, come on in. I prepared it for you. In the name of Christ, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.